Inside Wirtschaft, der Podcast mit Manuel Koch.
Joining us now is Jim Rogers. He's a legendary hedge fund manager, investor and financial commentator from Singapore. Jim, so good to see you.
I'm delighted to see you again, Manuel.
And also joining us is Salah Eddin Boumidi. He's the head of markets at IG from Cologne today. Good to see you too, Salah.
Hello, it's an honor for me today, Jim, to be here with you.
My pleasure, my honor, Salah.
Jim, we talked a year ago. Corona just started, everything just started, and now we are 1 year after that. How are you and how is your life 1 year later?
Well, first of all, I'm still alive, so that's good. I'm not bankrupt, that's good. Still making money, that's good. It's not what it used to be. I cannot travel because, first of all, there's no place to go, and second, there are no planes. I hope that opens up soon. I've had a couple of vaccinations. We will see.
Is life back to normal in Singapore? Can you go to restaurants? Can you go out? How's the situation?
We can go out. Everything closes around 10:30, but at least we can go out. There is social distancing, as you can imagine. It's not completely normal, but it's getting there, except for the travel.
We hear bad news from India. The cases are skyrocketing. How is the situation in Singapore? Is it much better, or do you see that there are more cases coming too?
Well, we don't have anywhere near the problems that I read about in England or India or some places like that. There have been a few deaths, and that's always horrible, but not that many and not that many cases. But somehow or another, I guess because of the strength of the lockdowns, Singapore has not been as badly hurt as other places.
A year ago, the market crashed, and then there was a super fast recovery. Do you think this was a healthy recovery? Because I think there's so much money in the markets from central banks, from governments. Is this maybe also a dangerous situation for the future?
Well, for the people who are making money, it's very healthy. It's wonderful. But, Manuel, as you point out, it's huge amounts of money printing taking place. We have never in world history had so much money printed, borrowed, and spent as we're having now. Somebody has to pay the price for this. It's good to be old because old people get the benefit of this. It is not good. Well, I use America. It's not good to be a young American because the debts that are being built up are not going to be good in their lifetime.
You have young daughters. Are you afraid for their future?
Well, of course I am, because I know what's going to happen. 100 years ago, Great Britain or the United Kingdom was the richest, most powerful country in the world. There was no number two. 50 years later, not very long, it was bankrupt, totally bankrupt. IMF had to fly into London and bail them out. So what is happening in the U.S. cannot be good for my children in their lifetime.
Yes, right, Jim. I just want to ask you, I've been trading on the commodity market for 15 years now. I learned a lot from you. And in Germany, we call you the Papa of Rohstoffe, the father of commodities. So that's still nothing compared to you, how long I'm trading. Do you still believe that the commodity market is the most attractive in the world?
Well, Salah, bonds are definitely in a bubble. Bonds have never been this high in history anywhere in the world. Property in some places is becoming a bubble. If you go to New Zealand or Seoul or some places, property is a bubble. Not everywhere. Stocks in many places are developing a bubble. I mean, you talked about India before. Indian stocks are up a lot. And America, some stocks, Amazon, Google, some stocks never go down, Tencent, Samsung. So some stocks are developing a bubble. The cheapest asset class I know, commodities, silver is down 50%, oil is down 50%, sugar is down 70% or so. I mean, commodities are the cheapest asset class in the world at the moment.
Totally agree with you. For identifying interesting trading setups, I always combine technical analysis and seasonal patterns. And we have seen in this current time really interesting seasonal patterns, especially in commodity markets, like in coffee, copper, lumber, whatever. What do you think about seasonal patterns? Are you applying them in your decision making?
Well, I'm aware of them just because I've been doing this for a long, long time. I don't apply them as the decide. Normally, I don't decide them. I mean, don't use them as a deciding factor. But Sala, if it works for you, don't listen to me. Do it. Do it. Whatever works for you, do it. And there are seasonal patterns, as you well know. There's no question. And there always have been and always will be.
What are your thoughts actually on lumber? It's skyrocketing right now, and even retailers selling back to their buyers. The lumber is really hot. Year-to-date performance higher than Bitcoin. So what's going on lumber? Is there a new cycle coming up? Is this just an exaggeration? What do you think?
Well, interest rates are the lowest they've ever been in history. There's gigantic amounts of free money around, or easy money around, and people think the economy is going to be strong. So let's build a house. Everybody says, let's take an opportunity and build a house. That's what's going on. I've seen this happen. You've seen this happen before, not just with lumber, but with everything. Would I jump in and buy lumber? No. You might be, because you're good at it, but I'm not buying lumber now.
Jim, let's come back to the debt discussion. I mean, we see the central banks, we see the governments, they have their trillions for programs, infrastructure programs, for example, in the US. But is there an alternative, or do they don't have any other chance because they want a healthy recovery or a fast recovery? They want businesses to survive.
Well, politicians worry about the next election. They're not worried about my kids, I assure you. So is there an alternative? Of course there's an alternative. You can do what, you know, Scandinavia did in the early 90s. There were problems like this. You know, they took the pain. They had a horrible 2 or 3 years. And since then, Scandinavia has been one of the better parts of the world. Or you can do what Japan did in the early 90s. They wouldn't let anybody fail. And they had 30 years of lost decades. You know, the Japanese stock market over 30 years later is still down over 30%. You can do it that way and have long-term problems, or you can do it the Scandinavian way, admit the mistakes, take the problems, take the pain, and then recover. In my view, that's a better way, but politicians don't think that way, Manuel. They're worried about the next election.
But pain would really mean pain and suffering for a lot of people. But you think the restart button would be better?
In my view, history. You know, America had this problem in the early 20s. They raised interest rates. They balanced the budget. They had a horrible 2 years. But then America had the best economic decade in our history after taking the pain, admitting the problems for a couple of years and starting over. Everybody has to make their own decisions. I'm not a politician. I would not do it the easy way. I would do it the correct way.
Do you think the dollar and the euro will still exist in the future?
Well, the British pound used to be the world's number one currency. It's still there. It's not what it used to be. I would expect the U.S. dollar will continue. I own a lot of U.S. dollars. I would expect that when things get bad again, people will look for a safe haven. They think the U.S. dollar is a safe haven. It'll go up. I hope I'm smart enough to sell the U.S. dollars because, you know, people are looking for a competitor for the U.S. dollar now, for economic reasons, for political reasons. No world currency has lasted more than 100, 150 years. So the U.S. dollar is coming to an end. I don't like saying it, but not today. But I can see down the road that the U.S. dollar is going to come to an end. It'll still be there, but it's not going to be what it is now. Will it be the euro? I doubt it, Manuel. There are too many internal pressures on the euro. But the euro's good, but will it survive? I don't know.
Speaking about safe haven, for many people, gold is a safe haven. We saw the all-time high last year. What is your thought about gold?
Well, I own gold. I'm not buying it now, and I haven't bought it for a while, but I hope to buy more. Sometimes during this correction, I'm not very good at market timing, but sometimes during this correction, I hope to buy more and more gold and more silver. I mean, silver's cheaper. Silver's down 50% from its all-time high. Gold is down only maybe 15% from its all-time high. I'll buy more of both, but the way things are now, I'll buy more silver than gold.
Last year when we talked, you said Bitcoin will go to zero and cryptocurrencies will disappear. Meanwhile, the Bitcoin hit one record high after the other. Did your thoughts change about the Bitcoin?
Well, let's make sure you understand what I said last year. I said that, and by the way, a lot of cryptocurrencies have already gone to zero, as you may know. I guess people don't read about the ones that have disappeared and gone to zero. My view is that if cryptocurrencies, if Bitcoin becomes successful as a currency, and that's what the supporters say, it's going to be a currency. My view is if it becomes successful as a currency, governments will say, no, 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 you must use our money as currency, and they will outlaw it. Governments like monopolies, governments like they don't want competition. All governments are working on their own computer money now. In China, they already have computer money. You cannot take a taxi in China using money. You have to use your phone money. You cannot buy an ice cream in China with money. It's already happening, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe when U.S. dollars are on the computer, maybe the U.S. government will say, okay, this is now money, but you can use somebody else's money if you want to. Well, maybe it will happen that way, but it's unlikely. As long as these things are just trading vehicles, I don't see any reason they can't last forever. But if they become successful as currencies, most governments will outlaw them. Some, I mean, India already has. China, you know, some countries are already outlawing this stuff.
Would you invest in Bitcoin at the moment?
No, I'm not a good trader. I mean, it's a wonderful trading vehicle, apparently, and many people have made a lot of money, but I'm not a trader. I'm no good at it and have no interest. Daniel, I do wish I had bought a lot of Bitcoin when it was $1. It's $50,000 now. Of course, I wish I had bought it. I wish I bought IBM in 1914. I wish I had bought Microsoft in 1990. I wish I had bought a lot of things.
Who knows, Jim? Who knows? Let's go back to basics. Let's assume I'm starting with commodity trading or investing. I'm a beginner. What are the crucial tips that you can give us how we can succeed in this market?
Well, if you're an investor, you got to do your homework, figure out supply and demand. That's all you got to do is figure out. I mean, that's not easy. There are tens of thousands of people trying to figure out commodity supply and demand every day. But if you can figure out the basic supply and demand, you'll make a lot of money. Is it easy? No, but it's simple. It's not easy, though.
Yeah, it takes time and it takes definitely passion to do so. You founded the legendary hedge fund, Quantum Fund, with George Soros in the 70s. What can you share with the audience about risk and money management? Because if we want to talk about risk and money management, you are the person that we have, and we like to have some views from you.
Well, Sala, the way I have had success, I have found things that are cheap where there's change taking place and gone long, or found things that were hysterically expensive where change was taking place and sold it short. But everybody has their own way. I used to work for a guy who was a phenomenal trader. He knew very little about the companies he was trading, but he could trade them with his eyes closed and make money. So everybody has to find their own way. It took me a while. It takes everybody a while to find their own way. My way is to do the research, find out what's happening, and then either buy or sell. But it's not easy. I wish it were easy, Sala. You know, everybody sees this stuff on the television or the internet and say, I could have bought Apple. This is easy. I could have bought Apple 20 years ago, 25 years ago. Ha! If it was so easy, we'd all be rich.
Absolutely, absolutely. Maybe let's move to crude oil. What's your take on crude oil, and especially on stocks like Exxon, Shell, whatever? What do you think for the upcoming future in crude oil?
Well, I bought some more energy, or the ETF, last week. It's down over 50%. Oil, we suddenly had this huge new supply of oil when we had fracking come in. But for a while, if you could spell fracking, people would give you a check. But then people realized, oh, wait, they got to make money. They got to pay their bills. So the fracking bubble has popped. There is no fracking bubble anymore. I mean, fracking's still there. It's, if you can make money at it, it's still there. But in the meantime, known reserves of oil are in decline. No question about that. Now, electric cars are coming, apparently. Many things are changing. But it seems to me that in the meantime, we're not going to, we still have oil, we still have hydrocarbons as energy, and I bought more last week.
And what about stocks? What's on your watch list? Maybe airlines, hotels, shipping, tourism? Where do you see opportunities?
Well, I bought a Chinese tourism company last week. I still see opportunities in airlines. In fact, I'm buying an airline now. Anything to do with tourism, travel has been beaten. And they're usually great opportunities when you find something that's been beaten down. Bought Chinese wine stocks. People stop going to the restaurants, stop going to the bars. Usually, when you have a disaster, there's also an opportunity.
Can you tell us some names which airlines are interesting for you?
Manuel, I know you you should ask, and that's good that you ask. I don't usually like, oh, well, I'll tell you one that I bought just yesterday. It's called Lufthansa. You know, I bought some shares of Lufthansa and other, mainly in Asia, but I happened, for whatever reason, to buy some Lufthansa yesterday.
Jim, also we talked about commodities so often, and you always say, yeah, have some land, be a farmer. This is also the future. What's your thought about that today?
Well, agriculture has been a disaster for a long time. In America, most people study public relations than study agriculture. The average age of farmers in America is 58. In Japan, it's 66. Highest rate of suicide in the UK is in agriculture. I mean, agriculture has been a disaster. But back to what I said a few minutes ago, normally when you have a disaster, might be an opportunity. I mean, we're still going to wear clothes. We're still going to eat food, I suspect. And I would imagine that the problems of agriculture will be coming to an end. And I bought more agriculture recently.
And how do you do that? What kind of investments do you do?
For most people, buying an index is the best way. If you're a good stock picker or a good commodity picker, but many studies have shown that index investing is the best, whether it's stocks or bonds. So I buy agriculture. I bought, it's called RJA. It's on the New York Stock Exchange. It's an agricultural index. So that's what I have been buying. I mean, the symbol is RJA.
Right.
Let's talk about politics. We had a change in the U.S. Now Joe Biden is the new president. Do you think that things will change in the U.S., a better future maybe?
Well, of course they'll change. Mr. Biden's friends will now make money, and Mr. Trump's friends won't make money. That's what happens in any politics, especially America. When the new guy comes, all of his friends have a good time for a while, and the old guy's friends don't have a good time.
One trend is the green trend, green investments. Also here in Germany, we will probably have the Green Party in our next government starting in September. Do you think that this is a very important trend?
Well, it is clear that the whole world wants to have cleaner air, that wants to have green, whatever, green movements. Doesn't matter what I think. Many people in the world are in favor of such things, and so one has to take that into consideration when you're thinking about investing. Electric cars are probably coming, so one has to think about that when you're investing. I would also point out to you that an electric car uses five times as much copper as a regular car. Electric cars use much more lead and lithium. So it's good in some ways from an environmental point of view, but remember, there's going to be a lot more lead mining, a lot more copper mining, lithium mining, smelting, etc. So while some people might suffer, others might do very well. Whatever change takes place, Manuel, always leads to an opportunity for somebody.
Jim, what are your future goals?
Well, my future goals are to stay happy and stay solvent.
We wish you all the best. Jim, thank you so much for today. I appreciate your time and I wish you all the best.
Thank you, Manuel. Nice to meet you, Sala. Good luck.
Nice to meet you. Thank you.
Good luck.
And thank you for watching. This was the IG Trading Talk for this week. Thank you so much. More information on IG.com. All the best. See you next time.
Und wenn euch diese Sendung gefallen hat, dann abonniert gerne den Podcast von Inside Wirtschaft und gebt uns ein Like.